Radio friends, as our announcer informed us, we begin today a series of messages on Christian marriage. They're going to be taken from the Word of God in 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to begin today with verses 3 and 4, and I'll begin by reading those verses. Who's adorning, and that's referring to the Christian woman, the Christian wife, who's adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. As we come under this word of God today and in the coming weeks, I do not need to prove to you that women and girls naturally seek to be attractive. From the time a little girl plays dress up, to the first application of makeup, to shopping for clothes, it becomes very plain that God has made the woman to want to be attractive. I'm not talking about the sinful abuse of that desire in the world. I'm not talking about seduction or immodest dress. But I speak of the fact that girls, young ladies, women, ordinarily seek to be attractive. The Bible assumes that this is so. Jeremiah 2, verse 32. Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. The prophet believes that it would be an unlikely thing for a maid or a bride to be mindless of her appearance. And in contrast, he bemoans the fact that God's people in that day were not mindful of God. But the question is this: what is beauty, and how do you make yourself attractive? And the Word of God will give the answer. Beauty is not found in perfect measurements. You don't get it in a gym or a beauty salon. It's not given by plastic surgery. Beauty is not the form and the contour of the face. Beauty is not to be found hanging on the racks at Kohl's, JCPenney's, or Marshall's. It's not found in all the unrelenting pressure of the world to be skinnier and skinnier. It's found in God's school of cosmetology. It's something that God gives to you. It's something that never fades, it never gets wrinkles. It's the beauty of Jesus Christ within. It's the hidden man or woman of the heart of a meek and quiet spirit. In the context of 1 Peter 3, we should see that the Apostle Peter has issued a call to a life of godliness. In chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, we read, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works be reproved." Reminding then us of our fundamental identity as pilgrim strangers, the Apostle Peter has called us to an honest conversation among the Gentiles, that is, to live a life which will validate the gospel to unbelievers. And he focuses in upon one area, submission. Submission to authority. In verse 13 of the second chapter, we read, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake." And then he begins to work out that submission in specifics. He says, first of all, submit yourself to the state, to the governor as to supreme, or to those who are sent by him. And then secondly, he says, submit yourself in the area of work to your employer, servants be subject to your master. And then he says, submit yourself in the realm of marriage, wives to their husbands, and husbands lead your wives. And he begins with exhorting wives then to their fundamental calling in chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, be in subjection to your own husbands. And he deals with the great question in connection with that calling, what if my husband doesn't believe? What if my husband does not obey the word? And he says, even in that extreme situation, live a godly life before your husband, that God, if so be his will, may by your good conversation work grace in your husband's heart. But now in our text, he begins to deal with a woman's fundamental beauty. The calling of a woman in marriage fundamentally is submission to her own husband. The fundamental beauty of a woman is the adorning of a meek and quiet spirit. That in general then is an overlook of the whole passage. And before we delve into some of the particulars yet today, I want to emphasize that this is an important truth for all of us to listen to. Every husband ought to listen, as well as every young man, as well as every man. What kind of beauty do you look for? In what direction do you nudge your wife? As men and young men, we put pressure upon women as to what we conceive is beauty. What are your standards of beauty? Are they God's? You need to know what God says is beauty. You don't need to go to the world or to yourself. That's deformed. Still more, this is a word to the unmarried. Young men, what do you look for in a girl, and what do you set your affection upon? And girls, how do you seek to adorn yourself to be attractive? It applies to each and to every one of us. The central issue now of verses 3 and 4 is the issue of adornment. Whose adorning, we read, let it not be that of the outward adorning, but the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. The word adorning is in the Greek kosmos, kosmeo, from which we get our word cosmetology, and it refers to an attractiveness or beauty, what one puts on, what one arranges so as to be attractive. And again, there is nothing wrong with seeking to present oneself attractively. The Word of God does not cast suspicion and call carnal the desire to have a pleasing appearance. We're going to come in verses 5 and 6 to the examples of the women in the Old Testament, of Rebekah, Sarah, Hannah, Abigail, all who were attractive women. We read in Proverbs 31, verse 22, of the godly woman who dresses herself in purple and in silk. Proper care for our appearance is not carnal. The desire to have a pleasing appearance is the expression of our Christianity. The outward so often does express the heart. But rather, the Apostle Peter is saying to us, your preoccupation must not be with the outward, but with the heart. And the text is a very strong contrast. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of hair and so on, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. Peter emphasizes the outward. He says, do not let it be your occupation, merely the outward, the form, the skin, the dress. Today, that's the preoccupation. And it takes a sick and a morbid twist. There's almost in dress today a preoccupation with death, with the colors and style. Now, if you miss everything else in this Word of God, you must not miss this. You must understand the principle deeply embedded in your own soul that in God's beauty school, this is fundamental. Your attention must begin and must be occupied with the heart, the inward heart. We read in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, of the Lord's estimation of men. He says, the Lord said to Samuel, Samuel's in the house of Jesse to anoint the next king over Israel, and the very handsome sons, the older sons of Jesse, have passed before Samuel, and the Lord has not chosen them. We read, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Did you hear that? Did you really hear that, young girl? Young man, did you hear it? The Lord looketh not as a man on the outward appearance, but in the heart. Are you attractive there? Do you give time to the beauty of the heart? Now Peter first gives the negative then. Let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair, the wearing of gold, or the putting on of apparel. There are three areas of dress there: hair, jewelry, and dress. The plaiting of the hair. Now that does not mean that as a convenient way of wearing long hair you may not braid your hair. You must not come to this passage and read, let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting or braiding of the hair, and then you go back to your mother and say, well, Mom, I can't have braids. No, Peter's readers knew what he meant. Peter was referring to a display of gaudiness, of piling up of the hair, of an ostentatious or showy display, wearing hair in such a way that it becomes a symbol of preoccupation with the outside. Wearing your hair in such a way that it's very plain that you've spent untold hours upon it. Or, says the apostle, not the plaiting of the hair or the wearing of gold. And here the wearing refers to that which surrounds all over the place. So again, he's not talking about the modest use of jewelry, of gold chains, necklace, earrings. Godly women in the Old Testament wore godly jewelry to the glory of God. But again, a preoccupation with the external, a piling up, a piercing up and down the ear, the nose, and the tongue. So that 10 yards away, you look like a gold vendor. No. So much attention, so much gold and ornaments hanging from you. No time for anything else, a preoccupation with it. And then the putting on of apparel. And again, he's not speaking absolutely. He's not saying don't put on clothes. Nor is he condemning changes of apparel, a new dress, that you mayn't have more than one suit of clothes. No, that's not the word of God. That's a false piety. But again, the idea is inordinate preoccupation with appearance. 50 pairs of shoes, never being seen in the same dress twice at a similar occasion. Do not become caught up with the outward. Peter is not giving an absolute prohibition to Christian women. Don't fix your hair. Don't wear gold jewelry, and don't clothe yourself in nice clothes. Wear gray flannel. No, that's not the word of God. An absolute here is taken for a relative. Let it not be this, but rather let it be this. Where is your occupation? What are you giving attention to? You remember in the scriptures we read, God says, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Does that mean that he told the Old Testament people of God, forget about all the sacrificing? No, he meant, I prefer mercy to sacrifice. I prefer your sacrifice to be the expression of also a merciful heart to others. The Lord said, labor not for the meat that perishes, but for the meat that the Son of God shall give to you. Does he mean, quit work, don't go to work, go on welfare? No, he means, don't become preoccupation with the earthly things, with your job and with how much money you make, but let your preoccupation be my word. And so here the word of God is not forbidding an attractive arrangement of your hair, a discreet use of jewelry, and different colors of dresses. But God is saying, I pay far more attention to the adorning of your mind and heart with the virtues and the grace of Jesus Christ than to your body with jewels and apparel. Today, this word of God means this. Let your adorning, let your attractiveness not be centered in the outward adornment of your figure, of perfect white teeth, of spiking and dyeing your hair bizarre colors, green and purple, colors God never made for human hair. Let not your adorning be silicon implants, Barbie doll figure, tight skin, no lines on your face. Don't give yourself an undue attention or preoccupation with the external, but let your adornment be the hidden man of the heart. There is where beauty is to be found. Now we know that the Bible does not teach that the human heart is good. The Apostle Paul is not saying, well, what's in the heart is what counts. No, but the hidden man of the heart is the reference to the new man in Jesus Christ. The place where beauty is to be found is the work of Jesus Christ within the heart of the child of God. That's beauty. The implantation, the granting, the giving of the life of Christ by grace alone embedded into our hearts spiritually. And now hear it in the positive sense. As a Christian woman, your emphasis must be upon what God has done in your heart. God, by grace through Christ, has placed the love and the peace and the joy of the Holy Gospel in your heart. God has made you righteous in Christ. You are beautiful in Christ. You are lovely to Him in the righteousness of Christ. The Holy Spirit dwells within you to sanctify you, to create in you purity and love for God. Let that be the preoccupation of your entire life. Set your heart upon those things, your mind. The hidden man of the heart. It's not visible with the eye, necessarily. It's internal, it's in the heart and spirit. Beauty is not seen in the mirror. You can stand there and gaze as long as you want. You won't see the beauty that catches the eye of God there. It's found in the heart. Guard your heart, young girl, for out of it are the issues of life, the heart. There God gives the life of Jesus Christ, the heart which loves and trusts and praises Christ. The life of Christ given in that place where one's thoughts and motives and attitudes and perspectives are now directed towards Christ. A heart consecrated unto God and Jesus Christ, possessing the beauty of Jesus Christ. There is where beauty is found. Beauty is not when a woman can turn men's heads as she walks past and lift eyebrows as she has dressed herself in glossed over death. But beauty is found in a woman, in the life of Jesus Christ in your heart, in the love and trust and praise to God that comes out of your life, your faith. Beauty is not found at the counter in JCPenney, Nordstrom's, Marshall's, or wherever you go. Beauty is not found. You're not going to get it at Valley Gym. Beauty is not something you hang on your body, zip up, pierce in, paint on, or put on. Beauty cannot be restored by a plastic surgeon. It cannot be purchased where Calvin Klein jeans are sold, or Adidas footwear, or Laura Ashley dresses are sold. It's not yours if you wear Tommy Hill figure clothing, or whatever else, designer clothes, 14-karat necklaces. It's found in one place, the hidden man of the heart, if you will ever come to the place where in God's estimation you are beautiful. You must come to this, that what is in your heart is more important to you than your hair, your jewelry, and your clothes. Do you hear it? What God sees in your heart, not in the fact if you're in style. If your commitment to Jesus Christ means today that there's much in the stores in which you are not in style. You won't buy or wear that stuff. You won't pass the muster of the world. So be it. And men, once again, what are you looking for? Your eyes, are they trained by the magazines of this world, by the checkout lanes, Cosmopolitan, the pornographic magazine, the billboards, or are your eyes trained by the Word of God? Are you encouraging your wife and your sisters in Christ to be beautiful before God? Do you want your wife to make it very evident that the great concern of her heart is how she looks to God? We're going to return to this passage next week. Let us pray. Father, bless thy word to our hearts. Amen.